Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, August 7th reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Scottsdale Details First Fruits of Preserve Tax, by Progress News Staff. Nearly 150 new trees, 5 upgraded basketball courts, and more than 300,000 square feet of replacement turf are among the first improvements City of Scottsdale officials say were funded by the sales tax voters approved for parks and the McDowell-Sonoran Preserve in 2024. The city recently released a breakdown of Parks and Recreation Department work completed during fiscal year 2025-26, the first full year of projects funded through Proposition 490. Scottsdale voters approved the Parks and Preserve sales tax in November 2024 to provide dedicated funding for parks, trails, and the preserve. The Scottsdale Parks and Recreation Commission serves as the Citizen Oversight Committee for the portion of the tax allocated to park improvements. The Commission reviews priorities and recommends annual budgets and capital projects funded by that allocation. During the recently completed fiscal year, Scottsdale reported planting nearly 150 trees and pruning more than 700 others. Crews also installed more than 780 flats of flowers and plants and replaced more than 300,000 square feet of park turf. 5 basketball courts were upgraded, more than 10 park buildings and facilities were repainted, and 80 new amenities, including picnic tables, grills, and trash receptacles, were installed. Security cameras were also added at parks. Larger projects included turf and landscape improvements at Comanche Park and beautification work at the south entrance of Vista del Camino Park. The city also completed design of a fully accessible playground at Rotary Park. Now under construction, the playground will include additional shade, poured-in-place surfacing, and inclusive play equipment. Proposition 490 money will also be used to expand park staffing and equipment. The department added 4 positions, a park planner, urban forester, and 2 maintenance workers assigned to parks in the Indian Bend Wash. It also purchased utility vehicles, aerators, sod cutters, and other landscaping equipment. Another $350,000 plus from the tax was used to repair landscape and facility damage caused by severe storms. Scottsdale residents made a long-term investment in places where families gather, children play, and neighbors connect, City Manager Greg Caton said. Just 1 year later, they're already seeing those improvements take shape in parks across the city, with even more to come. The next round of spending is expected to include some larger projects. For fiscal 2026-2027 year, the Parks and Recreation Commission has recommended design work for major renovations at Agua Linda, Chaparral, El Dorado, and Paiute Parks, 4 of the city's older neighborhood parks. Plans also call for renovations of aging sports courts, replacement of the South Playground at Vista del Camino Park, and the water play structure at El Dorado Aquatic Center. Other proposed work includes additional tree planting, turf replacement, new park furnishings, expansion of the city's urban forestry program, and improvements to irrigation systems and water-efficient landscaping. Parks and Recreation Senior Director Nick Molinari said the dedicated tax allows the city to address current needs while planning for longer-term improvements. Scottsdale's parks are among our community's greatest assets, and residents expect them to be beautiful, safe, and well-maintained, he said. And that article was titled, Scottsdale Details First Fruits of Preserve Tax. North Scottsdale Dog Park Nearing Completion, by Progress News Staff. A $6.1 million North Scottsdale Dog Park is almost ready, finally, after nearby owners have had to sit and stay for years. The Thompson Peak Dog Park is at 20199 North 78th Place, near the southwest corner of Hayden Road and Thompson Peak Parkway. Construction is underway and expected to be completed late this summer, according to the city. The long-awaited dog park was funded as part of the 2019 bond package approved by voters. Design work was done in 2022 and 2023. A grand opening was scheduled for last fall, but delayed as construction lagged. Inflation and other factors pushed the park's cost about 33% above its original $4.6 million price estimate. 3 summers ago, Councilman Barry Graham, who voted against tax and water rate increases and criticized cost increases of other projects, had no bone to pick with a $6 million dog park. He noted this is a voter-approved project. The city should prioritize the 3.5-acre dog park and extra parking that residents voted for in 2019, Graham said. The price tag includes $757,469 for design, $328,250 for administration, $52,938 for public art, and $4.2 million for construction, with $841,634 held for contingency. The project will include 3 fenced cells or play areas for dogs, shade canopies, benches, water fountains, and pet waste disposal stations, a footbridge to connect the off-leash area to existing park amenities, additional parking along Hayden Road, a new restroom building, public art. According to the city, this project will build a 3.5-acre dog park consisting of separate fenced and gated areas. The park will be designed and constructed in a manner similar to the off-leash area at Chaparral Park and provide pet owners a safe place to exercise their dogs. Scottsdale's other dog parks. Chaparral Dog Park, Scottsdale's most popular dog park, includes 3 acres of grass, benches, play features, and water fountains. 2 areas are the majority of the time, with 1 area designated for active dogs and another for passive dogs. The 3rd area, on rotation, is closed for maintenance and turf repair. Horizon Dog Park is a smaller area located in a retention basin on the far west end of Horizon Park. It has a large shade structure, a water fountain for you and your dog, and a water feature to control the dust. This area of the park is prone to flooding after a storm. Vista del Camino Park has a half-acre dog park with shade trees, benches, and water fountains. And that article was titled, North Scottsdale Dog Park Nearing Completion. 3D Printers Create New Safety Threat in Schools, by Alice Drive. At an age when most kids are learning long division, some Arizona students are learning high-tech methods to manufacture weapons. In April 2025, a group of 7th-grade girls at Castile Junior High in Queen Creek saw a boy playing with a knife in class. "I showed my buddy my 3D-printed switchblade," the boy said, according to the school incident report. He later told administrators that he'd printed the switchblade because he was bored after his parents took away his Spotify account. That same month, 2 similar incidents happened in Scottsdale schools, according to district records. A 5th grader brought a 3D-printed butterfly knife, a type of folding pocket knife, to his elementary school campus. 3 days later, at a Scottsdale middle school, a gifted student in the 6th grade was found in possession of a 3D-printed item that resembled both a box cutter and a gun, a very small plastic toy knife, and a bag of 3D-printed items, according to district records. The student also had a large amount of cash due to selling on campus. Together, the cases reveal an emerging gap in school safety. As 3D printers get cheaper and downloadable printing files easier to access, kids as young as 10 years old can manufacture objects that look like, and sometimes function as, weapons at home and bring them to school. Administrators are left to decide what to call the objects, how to discipline students, and what, if anything, to tell families. In these cases, none of the districts alerted the wider school community. No one was hurt in the Valley incidents reviewed by the Beam, but not because 3D-printed objects are unable to cause harm. When experts look at cases like this, they warn that even a blunt polymer knife can be strong enough to thrust into the body of a child, said Frank Grossbrich at Safer Schools Together, an organization that provides violence prevention training at schools. Experts say schools need clear policies for a problem that's moving faster than most school safety playbooks. School leaders need to be consistent with their district policies as to how they view 3D weapons as an actual weapon and what disciplinary action and referrals to law enforcement should be made when encountering students with such weapons, said Kenneth Trump, president of National School Safety and Security Services. Our kids are exposed at younger and younger ages to the dark sides of the digital world, he added, and unfortunately, to the world of violence and safety risks. A toy or a weapon? Many schools have policies banning weapons on campus. If a student had brought a gun or even a simulated gun onto school grounds, there would have been even greater consequences, said Joshua Friedman, Scottsdale Unified Director of Safety and Security. We had a water gun last week or 2 weeks ago. We had a Nerf gun in class last week, he told the Beam. We bring the school resource officers in, and then we send a letter home to the parents that one was identified. Enforcement of such school policies depends if the object is classified as a weapon. While Friedman said the 3D printed weapon incidents were never brought to our attention last year, he noted that a school safety officer looked over the items at each school to determine how to classify them. The police interviewed parents of both children, along with the administrators at the sites. He said everybody was interviewed. But these interviews were not included in the incident files provided by the Beam through the public records request. They determined that even though it looked like a butterfly knife and functioned like a butterfly knife, that it would not classify as a weapon because it did not have any other characteristics of a weapon, he said of the incident involving the fifth grader. Friedman said the student believed he was printing a cool fidget spinner that he could use to flip around and whatever. Joshua Friedman, Scottsdale Unified School District's Director of Safety and Security, displays a 3D-printed butterfly knife identified in a school incident during a Zoom interview with the Beam on Monday, November 17, 2025. Regarding the object that looked like a box cutter and a gun, emails obtained through public records requests reveal how the item came to be classified. The item could be classified as a simulated firearm in the SUSD Code of Conduct, but I'm going with dangerous items, which include simulated knives, as that results in a lesser consequence, the principal wrote to the student's parents. Friedman said, I don't think there was anything that he felt he was printing that was bad. Transparency an issue. SUSD parents were not notified about the 3D printed weapon-like items on its campuses because they are not declared as weapons, Friedman said. Scottsdale Unified Records also included a sparsely populated spreadsheet that did not include school names or the grades of the students involved. Friedman was able to share the students' grade levels, but administrators refused to share the school names. We could not identify the school names and/or locations due to the potential to expose personally identifiable student information, the district's communications director, Christine Harrington, said. Scottsdale Police Spokeswoman Sergeant Alice Semsis told the Beam, I can tell you that this is still not a police matter, and there is no gun involved. It does not meet the legal definitions of what a gun is, per Arizona revised statute. Friedman said it was not a weapon, but conceded, I mean, you could scrape down the plastic and make the knife sharper. SUSD administrators suspended the fifth grader for a day and a half and the sixth grader for 2 days. Friedman said the sixth grader was also required to give a PowerPoint presentation to staff on the dangers of 3D printed weapons and write a paper summarizing responses. While school officials in Scottsdale and Chandler identified the 3D printed objects as non-functional or as toys and therefore outside the scope of school weapons policies, TikTok and YouTube tell a different story. Those popular social media apps have countless videos with kids of all ages using a range of 3D printed weapons to cut, slash, and explode things. In How Dangerous Are 3D Printed Weapons, a YouTuber with over 1.6 million subscribers smashes a watermelon with a 3D printed brass knuckles. A 3D printed knife is shown in a YouTube short video posted on April 14, 2025. As the knife is pressed into a replica human hand during a demonstration of the weapon's potential impact, the narrator says the blade, quote, hit the bone. After taking a few more swings at the watermelon, I can say spiked knuckles are definitely dangerous, the kid says. The video then cuts to him using a 3D printed bayonet to pierce a Diet Coke can and then a lifelike replica of a human hand. Arizona does not have laws that restrict minors from viewing or downloading 3D printed blueprints for knives, box cutters, or guns. Experts say the rise in 3D printed weapon-like items in schools is less about children wanting to arm themselves and has more to do with these printers becoming more accessible. In roughly 10 seconds, anyone can download a blueprint for a butterfly knife or a toy gun from popular online libraries of 3D printable files. Students can also be driven by an interest in engineering, a desire to test what these printers can do, or the belief that a 3D printed knife or fidget spinner looks cool. Another driver is community, said Yannick Valliot-Lepage, an associate professor of political science at the Royal Military College of Canada. Online forums and influencer-style content can make printing weapons feel like a fun hobby and give kids a sense of belonging around an interest many adults don't understand or even know about. Friedman said, even though the records clearly state the students had the intent to sell, I don't think they had the intent to sell any of the weapons per se. First of all, none of the children thought they were weapons. As for the large amount of cash due to selling on campus, as stated in district records, Friedman said he could not explain why the records stated that. Friedman said that both administrators involved in the incident are no longer at the school. How other districts reacted. In other parts of the country, districts have treated similar incidents as community-wide safety issues and communicated accordingly. In 2024, after a student brought a 3D printed knife to Butler Creek Elementary School in Gresham, Oregon, the principal sent a letter to all parents after the incident. Please take this opportunity to remind your children that there are serious consequences for bringing unsafe items to school. Real and look-alike weapons pose a threat to student and staff safety and are strictly prohibited. The letter included information about a school safety tip line available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Butler Creek spokeswoman Christy Agrig said the decision to notify other parents came down to transparency. They wanted to provide information that empowers families. We engage our families as partners to keep kids safe. Transparency helps build trust, she said. Chandler Unified officials told the Castile students' father, but not other families. Chandler Unified Communications Director Stephanie Ingersoll said administrators determined the weapon was not a threat because the student showed that the item was silicone and bendable. The district decided not to share the 3D printed butterfly knife incident with the broader community because, she added, the educational institution was not disrupted. The incident was contained, there was no social media or posting of the item, and the item was not a weapon. Experts caution that students can have social media accounts that neither school officials nor their parents are aware of, accounts best found through a digital assessment. School safety expert Kenneth Trump noted that these instruments may look like toys, but school should still communicate transparently about these incidents. The community will be aware when incidents occur, so it's in their best for them to get credible information from the school district versus relying upon social media information, and in most cases misinformation, he said. The Castile Junior High 7th grader was given an off-campus suspension of 3 days. Metal detectors foiled. Schools are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on school safety. But most schools' weapon detection systems are designed to find metal, not the plastics used in 3D printing. Even when schools say the objects were not printed on school equipment, many Arizona K-12 schools have 3D printers as part of STEM programs. Friedman insisted that the particular 3D printed weapons found last year in Scottsdale schools were not printed on school computers, but he conceded that it had happened in the past with a shank with a pointed end similar to what you'd find in a jail. There's no real training for teachers at this time, he said. It's like the vapes, you know, Friedman added. As soon as we educate them what a vape looks like, it looks like a Sharpie next week or a highlighter the week after. Stephen McDonald is the Director of Training and Development at Safer Schools Together, an organization that provides professional training for schools throughout North America to help them minimize and manage the risk of student violence. McDonald said schools should use a threat assessment process involving a multidisciplinary team that includes law enforcement, school resource officers, and other district-level security partners to evaluate what a student printed, why they printed it, and whether there are warning signs online. You cannot have an accurate assessment of risk without considering the digital behavior baseline of a subject of concern, he said, adding that students sometimes will leak their intentions in online posts or chats. Safer Schools Together recommends that schools implement anonymous reporting tools that allow students to report threats 24 hours, 7 days a week, and upload images. That way, if a student sees a threat in a group chat, they can report it without putting themselves at risk. Parents, too, are part of the front line. McDonald noted that that is crucial, no matter the functionality of the printed weapon, to let the parents' caregivers know, hey, this is still very dangerous. Adults should set rules early around new technology, just as families often do with a first phone, tablet, or laptop. Being aware of what our children are looking up online, being aware of the accounts that they use, being aware of who they're engaging with virtually is probably the best thing we can do. And that article was titled, 3D Printers Create New Safety Threat in Schools. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the town of Paradise Valley Independent. Paradise Valley Police Department welcomes two new officers. Community news. The Paradise Valley Police Department welcomed its two newest officers following a swearing-in ceremony Wednesday, July 29th, according to the Paradise Valley Town Manager's weekly update. Officers Alex Lionel and Timothy Mitchell joined the department in June and recently passed the Arizona Peace Officer Standards and Training Board Certification Exam, officially completing their training period. Police Chief Freeman Carney administered the oath of office during a swearing-in ceremony attended by the officers' families, friends, fellow officers, and department staff. According to the town manager's weekly update, the officers bring experience in leadership, tactical operations, investigations, emergency response, and community engagement as they begin serving the Paradise Valley community. And that article was titled, Paradise Valley Police Department Welcomes Two New Officers. Cop with a Coffee focuses on back-to-school safety. Paradise Valley residents joined police for a discussion on school zones, traffic safety, and keeping students safe. By Allison Coatesbauer. Paradise Valley community members gathered in the Paradise Valley Police Department's main auditorium Wednesday, August 5th, where hot coffee and fresh bagels welcomed them into the station. Community members were then placed into small groups to play games about back-to-school safety. Each team received a whiteboard and marker to write their answers down. "It really is back to school," a Paradise Valley resident shouted out. The event was part of the Coffee with a Cop event series. The PVPD hosts the first Wednesday of each month to better inform the community on public safety topics and to give community members a chance to interact with officers in an informal setting. Law for Kids, a nonprofit part of the Arizona Bar Foundation, aimed at educating children in Arizona about the law, their rights, and their civic responsibilities, partnered with the PVPD for August's event to focus on how to keep the community safe as children return to the classroom. Education Program Manager at the Arizona Foundation for Legal Services and Education, Andrea Vail, led the presentation with games and time for discussion about Arizona traffic laws related to schools and safety. Members of the public played a crossword escape room game from the Law for Kids website as well as a matching game. Veal said the games are meant for children, but are a great way for anyone to refresh on Arizona laws as children head back to school. "They are intended for youth, of course, but I think it's a great tool for anyone in the community," she said, "and it's just a fun way to dive deeper." the games covered, when and where to cross the street, what to do if there's no sidewalk, who has the right of way, laws for bikes on the road, school zone laws, and fines and stopping for a school bus. Living in a community, it's a share of responsibility to keep each other safe, Vail said. Paradise Valley Police Chief Freeman Carney thanked the community after Vail's presentation and attributed Paradise Valley's safe streets to the department's officers, but also to everyone who participated in the event. I think this is the safest place in the state because of the PVPD officers, which it is, he said. But as you can see, you guys are really good on your answers, so you guys are making it safe too. Councilmember Karen Lippman, who attended the event, said everyone should join the PVPD for a Coffee with a Cop event, and she learned something about pedestrian laws she didn't know before. Coffee with a Cop is one of the most community-building, positive-reinforcing events in Paradise Valley, she said. It's lots of fun. We learn really interesting things. Today I learned something interesting. Kyle Stewart, a Scottsdale resident and financial advisor, attended Coffee with a Cop for the first time Wednesday. I learned a lot more about school safety and proper actions to take when driving and being around a school zone, he said. I wish they would do this in Scottsdale. I think it was extremely beneficial and just a great way for the community to come together. And that article was titled, Coffee with a Cop Focuses on Back to School Safety. You've been listening to the East Valley News featuring the towns of Paradise Valley and Scottsdale. All your favorite programming can be heard anytime on demand at sunsounds.org. I'm your volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. I hope you have a great rest of your day.